turning to another subject that got lost, I ask if you recall about the fact that Basil Brown grew up in Vandalia and enjoyed great early political success and as a law practitioner, and I had asked if I recall whether you were aware whether he provided any inspiration in your early years and that sort of thing. Would you care to repeat what you said?
Sure.
I'm not going to go through all this, but I think in deference to what actually happened.
Sure. I did not know Basil Brown or know of him when I was living in Cassopolis, Michigan. I was born in Detroit. Mm-hmm. I lived here for 5 years, and then I grew up in Cassopolis, having gone from the first grade through the 12th grade, graduating in 1959 from high school, and then I returned back to Detroit to start Wayne State University. Ultimately, I graduated from Western Michigan University. The time that I was living in Cassopolis, which is about 4 miles from Vandalia, Michigan, I did not know Basil Brown, did not know of him, and therefore he provided no inspiration or hope or guidance or role model or whatever the case may be. I did not learn of Basil Brown until after I think I was either in law school and helped start the Wolverine Bar Association's Law Student Division at Detroit College of Law. I started going at Detroit College of Law at night and went for 4 years at night, graduated, started in 66, graduated in 1970 in January. Or if I learned of him after I graduated, because Basil Brown by then was in the state legislature, and I began to hear the oral history of the black lawyers and black law firms in Michigan. And, of course, Basil Brown was prominent in the oral history regarding black lawyers. And the oral history, in short, was one in which black lawyers did not have the same equal opportunity for jobs and employment as their majority counterpart. Many had to start their practices while working full-time in an automotive plant or working in a post office and practicing law part-time until they could build it up and to afford to practice full-time to support their families and support staff. And those lawyers who practiced were not able to practice in the buildings in which we occupy presently, but were relegated to smaller storefront offices. And the first office building, as I recall, that black lawyers could get an office in was the Tobin Building. I can recall listening to Alan Early, S. Alan Early, who finally was able to get an office here in, I think, the First National Building. And the kind of embarrassment and the kinds of humiliating things that he had to go through as well as others before they could get into the buildings that they had an interest in.
Justice Archer, about what time in the calendar would that have been? Which year? Do you recall what it had been in the early 70s or the late 60s?
You mean that I began to...
No, that this was true. You were describing how tough it was and how disadvantaged a black...
Oh, I think it lasted up until... I guess about the beginning of the late 1960s. Because by then, in the 1960s, we had had the appointment of... Well, first of all, just to put it in perspective, the first black appointed to a judgeship was appointed by Governor G. Manning Williams. And that was Charlie Jones. He was appointed, but he ultimately lost his election as a result of some election eve news stories alleging that he had some kind of ownership in a business which appeared to be a conflict, which caused him to lose the election. Detroit at that time, of course, was not a predominantly black city as it is today.
That would have been in the 1950s, correct?
Because I think that's correct. Whenever
Williams left office in after 1960.
Then the next person who was appointed by Governor Williams was Elvin Davenport. And then Governor Williams also appointed Wade McCree. Wade McCree, by the late 60s, had gone from Wayne Circuit to the federal bench. And when President Kennedy came in, I believe it was President Kennedy, he was appointed to the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. And that's when Phil Hart had a choice to make between Damon Keith and Otis Smith. And in 1967, Senator Hart went with Damon Keith, and he went on the Eastern District Court. And Otis Smith wound up at General Motors and wound up being Vice President General Counsel of General Motors. But that was in 1967. When I graduated, when I started clerking, I clerked for the law firm of Keith, Conyers, Brown, Walls, and Anderson.
Where was that firm located at that time, do you recall? And what year would that have been?
I want to say the Guardian building, and that was 1967.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to say.
Oh, that's
I can't visualize it.